Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words, and I do ask you to help us to know how to apply these words, and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there's a lot of things in the Bible that, like in the Old Testament, that you would say, what's that got to do with me? And this is unfortunately going to be one of those chapters, but it would give understanding as far as financial status of the world. At your age, I would suggest to save as much as you can and spend as little as you can. And when I was 14, 15, I decided I'm going to buy me a car. I'm going to pay cash. I don't want payments. So I saved. I think the first savings account I had, I sold two pigs and I had $38. In my savings account. That was fifth grade. And then I just started kind of planning ahead, saving ahead. And can you believe it? You can buy a brand new car in 1974 for $3,500. Isn't that strange? And I chose to buy an El Camino. And El Camino is a half car, half truck. And the reason why I bought that, because that way in high school, if somebody asked me for a ride, I said, don't got the space. Plus the insurance was for a truck, not a car. It was cooler, yeah. I sold it to my uncle, yes. And then I bought a 76 Camaro, baby blue. That's how I tempted my wife. And after we got married, I sold it. Price of gas was going from 50 to 80 cents. It's outrageous. So I wanted to get a different car. That was a mistake. I should have kept that. But the idea is that try to save as much as you can. I mean, you're living at home, so enjoy that free rent and all that stuff. Try to save as much as you can, plan for the future, but you have a lot against you. The financial system in the world is designed to keep all of us enslaved. And Nehemiah 5 shows what happens to a nation when that happens. Okay, and so we just do the best we can and use what we have to please the Lord. So Nehemiah 5, remember that he's rebuilding the walls. Remember that Zerubbabel rebuilt the Jewish temple. And then they needed to get the walls rebuilt in case marauders came in and tried to steal things out of the temple. And so Nehemiah was a very organized man. He was a cupbearer, so he delegated a lot of authority, and they got it done really quick. They got it done rebuilding the walls. Let's see, chapter 6, I think it was in chapter 6, where it was in 52 days, chapter 6, 15. So that's pretty good without backhoes and, pneumatic tools and nail guns. And nail guns don't work real good when you're working with stone. And so he very organized fella, and then he saw that people were suffering financially. And the same holds true everywhere you go, even in our country. Our country is very rich, very wealthy, but if you see somebody with possessions, one of two things is basically you can figure out that they are in big debt. Okay, most of the time that's what it is, big debt, or they just happen to be fortunate. On that idea. In most cases, it's big debt. And that's how the system is designed. It's designed for us in the lower class to work and work and work and work. And then a lawyer, if you go to a lawyer, I just, had to deal with a lawyer. And how would you like to get paid $400 an hour? That's what the lawyer's fee was. $400 an hour. Nobody's worth that. except for maybe folks that work in nursing homes. And what do they get in nursing homes? Probably $12 an hour, and an attorney and gets $400 an hour, and it's just phenomenal. It's just so cattywampus. So chapter 5, verse 1, Nehemiah saw this. There was a great cry of the people and of their wives against the brethren, the Jews. Who's running the banking system here? Nothing has changed on that. Again, that proves the Bible is the word of God as far as the Jewish people go. Okay, they legitimately could have been the financier of other nations if they obeyed the Lord, but they have done it illegitimately. They're still the financiers, but they've done it illegitimately. Okay, and then verse 2, for there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. So they're trying to get something to eat. And some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses that we may buy corn because of the dearth. Okay, dearth is, if you look at the word, you have, drop the D, you got a earth, And then if you drop the R in there, you got death. It's a drought. Okay, so being raised in America, we've been amazingly fortunate. It's amazing the food that we can grow in this country. It's an amazing thing. The powers that be, if they had America at our best interest, they would sell a bushel of wheat for a barrel of oil to the Saudis. And they do it. But now Saudi has been irrigating the deserts. And so they have been growing a lot of crops in those deserts of Saudi Arabia. It's a very interesting thing. You can find it online. You fly over Saudi Arabia in the desert, you'll see green circles all over the place. And they've been growing crops with the irrigation system. Okay, look at the word mortgage. I think we've all heard that term. Without cheating, down a footnote, without cheating, you know what that thing means. Okay, more. How about mortuary? Okay, mortuary. This is mortgage. They're akin. Mortgage means death pledge. Martin Luther, you remember him? Martin Luther through the years back in the Reformation days. Martin Luther used to teach that the bankers who charge usury deserve to be hung. The death sentence. And the Bible agrees with that. Totally. Not that I'm suggesting to go to the banks and tell the president you need to be hung. Okay, but it's a weird thing as far as if we understood our banking. If Americans understood their banking system, they'd be beaten down the bank door. Okay, so if you got a savings account, let's say you got $1,000 in your savings account. You got $1,000? Oh, you do? Okay, so if there's a run in the bank and he wants to go to the bank to get his $1,000, if there's a run in the bank, do you know how much they'll pay him? $40 or $50. That's all they'll give you, because that's all they're required to have in the bank. 4%, whatever fractional reserve is, 4% of what you have in your account. That's all they're required to give. So why? Why is that? Because the bankers have enriched themselves. And now, Nehemiah does give a solution. Maybe somebody in here will become president. Maybe you can fix the national debt. Okay, and you have to be born in Kenya in order to get up there, president, I suppose. But these people actually had to borrow money to buy their groceries. That's pretty raunchy. Okay, where Brent is ministering down in Costa Rica, the average salary of the people in their church on a day's wage, they get $25 to $30 on a day's pay. Boy, that's pretty raunchy, okay? And some of their prices in stores are about the same as ours. In some ways, they're cheaper. You obviously have to learn how to survive, okay? And they don't have houses. So if you take the trash hill down at Mount Air, which now Mount Air has a mountain, it's called that trash hill, okay? And if you take 30,000 people and squat on that, okay, and those 30,000 people, they can find some sheet metal, or some 2x4s, and they could slap that up, and so they have about, let's say, probably a 15x15 with sheet metal on top, sheet metal on the side, 2x4s on the inside, and they put a little partition for the kitchen here, dirt floor, and maybe a bed here. If they're fortunate, maybe they are part of a building where the one family had brick rooms, and so they had 1, 2, 3 rooms, brick, and that's all they had. So, in fact, our dogs live better than some of those people live in that culture. If you get an opportunity, we try to encourage our children that when they got up to teenage years to try to take mission trips somehow, some way, to find out how other people lived. And you see how other people live. Now, my sister Joanne, she went and saw my other sister Janet when she was in China. And I should have went to China, but I didn't go to China. I didn't really want to go to China. I didn't want to mess with the visas and all that stuff. But my sister Joanne went. When she came home, the first thing she did is she walking into the house, she kissed her front step. She was so thankful to be home. I mean, and of course, Janet Lyle could tell you what it's like to live there. They have a law in there. If you have a building that's 8 stories tall, more than 8 stories, you have to have an elevator. So the one they lived in was 8 stories, so it didn't have to have an elevator. They lived on the 8th floor. And one time their cat fell out the window, all the way out to the bottom. Okay, but Nehemiah is talking about financial troubles. Okay, Cat did survive it, and it did land on his feet. And so we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, our houses. Okay, and that's the trouble they're facing. Nehemiah is seeing this, and he is seeing the pain that people are going through. Verse 4, there were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute. They actually had to borrow money to pay their taxes, and that upon our lands and vineyards. So everything is mortgaged, and the people are suffering, and they don't even have money to put food on the table. Verse 5, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. Okay, the idea of redemption in Israel, they would have, if somebody was a servant, now a servant is different than a slave, where a servant does have a say-so on occasion. At least a servant has the hope of getting done with their service, where a slave does not. And so under the Jewish customs, if somebody was a servant to somebody, they served for 6 years, and the seventh year they were to be let go free. So that's the out for them, okay? When every 50 years they'd have what's called a Pentecost, but they'd have a jubilee where they could buy back certain land. So this was designed so you wouldn't have super wealthy people. Okay, this past year, more billionaires have been made than any time in history. And of course, they're taking advantage of the pharmaceutical industry, and the big companies could keep their stores open like Lowe's and Home Depot and Menards, but yet the small businesses were dying. Okay, I know one up in 30s, one we used to buy the speakers from, Rabinos, and he's closed down, and he's just one of hundreds and thousands. And so this is designed by the ones at the top to bring us all into slavery. And now, personally, I'd rather be the victim than the perpetrator. Not that I appreciate being the victim, but still, I'd rather be the victim on that. So Nehemiah is going to give a solution for this. So in verse 6, I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Nehemiah was a very He really demonstrated his emotions. And Ezra in chapter 9, he cried about the situation and he sat astonished. Nehemiah made it public, and he would throw stuff around or throw people around if he had to. So Nehemiah was very angry about this. And when you see people hurting, suffering, empathy would cause us to try to do what we can to help if we can. Okay, and so he was very angry. And so what did he do in verse 7? Then I consulted with myself. So that's not a bad thing to do. At times you do need to talk to yourself. One baseball player coming up to bat, they'd see his lips moving, and they'd ask him, what are you doing? He says, I'm humming a tune. I'm singing a tune. He said, why do you do that? He said, it makes me relax at the plate. And what he's doing is he's talking to himself. Remember in Ephesians 5, 18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess. And then he says the next verse, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When we see Heidi, you know, whenever we get to see Heidi next, I'm not sure. But one thing about Heidi is she's always has good music in her car. And always at home playing music, always has it going, always around, obviously plus scripture, but she has those two things always in the background, and I dare say that is what gives her strength to be alone, okay, to, in essence, have no hope to be able to come home, to have to deal with a raunchy country and maintain, and not get much encouragement at church. Really, she's not getting much encouragement at church either. But yet she stays, man, we call her our patriotic soldier. And it's one thing is she's always got music going, always got the hymns going, always got in the car, always playing something. And that music is always flowing. And so that's where Ephesians says we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So this is something we need to build in our lives. So he consulted with himself. It says in Proverbs that a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So I always think it's great. It's a blessing when I see people like talking to Brother John, probably about guns or maybe motorcycles. Okay, and talking to the elderly and find somebody and talking to Brother Martin and talking to my dad. And find somebody who are expert in a field and ask for their counsel. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. You can, like Bob Jones Sr. said, you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. And I like one man said, he said, if you have somebody who is equal to your knowledge and two of you together, you have increased your knowledge or you got double the knowledge. But if you have somebody more intelligent than you, then you personally will benefit from that increased knowledge. And so a student or a teacher, a real teacher's desire is that when you attain their age, you should be advanced over them. Okay, when you're my age, okay, hopefully your Bible knowledge would exceed my Bible knowledge at this age because you could add to what I've given. Now, in order to do that, you got to pay the price. You got to study. And just like in sports, if a person wants to be good, you have to be practiced when nobody's around and always be pressing yourself. You know, in high school, I didn't practice much in the off season, but my senior year, I thought, I think I'm going to put some effort into it this summer. And back in those days, there was a guy named Rick Mount played at Purdue. You remember Rick Mount? Man, a dead eye shot. And I'd heard that he'd shot 200 shots a day. Well, back then, that was a lot. Today, that's not a lot. And so I determined to shoot 200 shots every day through the summer, and I shot 10,000 shots, and I kept track. And my goal in high school was shooting about 60%. I did about 62. Now it's much higher than that. But still, you would do that when nobody's around, and you do that when you didn't feel like it. And it's funny. It's amazing. I didn't break my neck because I shot this in a second floor of a barn where the hay and straw used to be, and the ball would go over the edge, and I'd try to save it sometimes. And if I didn't, you know, it's on the bottom. So, but the idea in anything in Bible knowledge, a person needs to study alone, and it's like building a house where you're laying one brick on another brick on another brick on another brick, and you're just building your knowledge, trying to grow in the Lord. So in verse 7, he consulted with himself, then he rebuked the nobles. Okay, who are the nobles? Okay, we're fortunate in America. We don't have a caste system. At least we're not supposed to. Now, there's usually a caste system by society. But if you lived in India, whatever family you're born into, that's the family or caste that you stay in until the day you die. If you're born in a poor family, you will stay poor the rest of your life. I don't care if you work hard and try to get up, you will still be considered in that caste. Okay? And in our culture, titles of nobility are supposed to be forbidden. Titles of nobility is in England where you have the queen, she owns everything. Okay, then you have under her, I don't know the exact terms, you have a duke, you got an earl, and you got all these things. And okay, so the queen owns everything, and then the next one down owns a certain amount, but yet he's got to answer to queen, and then there's one here's got to answer to this one, and then whoever rents the house is renting from all these, and all of these are taking their cut out of it. So there's always, in England, there's always that lower caste. In America, that's supposed to be forbidden, okay? But it has snuck in, okay? And a title of nobility is what an attorney is. Uh-huh. They couldn't even put a price to it. Yeah. Yeah. It's supposed to, she owns all of England, all of Australia, New Zealand, all this stuff, and she didn't pay a dime for any of it. Now, if I understand right, she's lost Australia and New Zealand, and who knows even if she's alive, but we'll have to wait and see in that one. So in our culture, Titles of nobility are supposed to be forbidden, but that's what an attorney is. You ever hear it says an attorney is a member of the bar? The bar stands for British Accepted Registry. So it is a form of title of nobility. So, but who's going to, you know, fight that one? Okay, and so wherever we're at, he rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury. Now, these are legal terms. The Bible is a legal document. Exact. You can see the word exact is akin to extort. Okay, exaction. Okay, ye exact usury. Usury is the old English word for interest. So you put money in a bank and you got a savings account. What's the interest rate? 0.5 now? 0.05. Oh, man. 0.05. I remember back in the late 80s under Jimmy Cotta. No, late 70s under Jimmy Cotta, it was like 10-12%. And to borrow was 18%, which is illegal at that high. But, okay, usury is the only, what it is, it's you're using somebody else's money. Okay, where the Jews, if a Jewish man had a bank and he's going to loan money, he could not, under the law, charge interest to another Jewish person. You just loan the money and get it back. You say, well, where do they make money? Well, it's kind of semantics, but they would sort of kind of rent the money. But still, he couldn't do that with a Jewish person. But he could charge usury to a Gentile. And that's how they could financially improve their country, by loaning out to other nations. Okay, in our culture, interest is given a little bit on your savings account, very little. Okay, and this is where Martin Luther said that bankers deserve to be hung, because this is a very subtle way of taking your money. It's a very subtle way of doing this sleight of hand. And this is what's happened in our country since 1913. So over 100 years this has been going on in America. Before that, you had gold and silver. And if you can buy some gold and silver, try. Well, gold probably out of the picture. Unless you punch somebody in the mouth, got a gold tooth, and then you grab it. But if you can buy silver, try to get some. That would be a good thing to purchase, to have on hand. Because that is something that has value. That works. When the bankers say, we're pulling the money out of circulation, the only people who survive are the ones that have gold and silver. They're the only ones. Now, the news media said nothing about this, but about 5 years ago, Iceland, somehow the people got together in Iceland and they kicked the bankers out of their country. And if the bankers didn't leave, they were going to arrest them. And they made all of the mortgages down to zero. And their economy recovered quicker than any nation. Bankers were really screaming on that. And the bankers didn't lose any money. It's just that they didn't gain as much as they usually did. So that was done in Iceland. We could do the same in our country. Anybody want to start? But first, you want to go out and get a big mortgage first, right? And then zero it out. Okay, and Nehemiah is the authority for this. Okay, so he says, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. So he got a big crowd against them. He's explaining to them what's going on. And when people understand it, now they're upset. He says, and I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. Will ye even sell your brethren, or shall ye they be sold unto us? Okay, so that's the question they threw at the nobles or to the bankers. And it says they held their peace and found nothing to answer. They kept quiet because there's a mob scene being taken place. And they know that they couldn't argue it. Verse 9, also I said, it's not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise that my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. If America did that, our economy would be it would be booming even further than what it did under Trump. Let us leave off this usury. Stop that. And then verse 11, restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their oliveyards, their houses, also the hundredth part of the money, of the corn, of the wine and oil that ye exact of them. So the solution here was, Nehemiah said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's what should be happening. The mortgages are zero now. In fact, you're going to restore back to the people their own property, and then you're going to give them a hundredth part back to them. If you don't do that, then we'll just take you to the gallows and take care of it. Now, if you got that choice, what would be a better choice? You know, your neck being stretched, or okay, I'm just going to lose, you know, I've made a pretty good living. I got away from this for quite a while. So, okay, I guess we'll do this. And so they said in verse 12, then said they, we will restore them and we require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Now that was a revival. That was a great revival. Monetary revival. Will that take place in America? I'm not holding my breath on that one. If it happened, okay, what's the national debt? 20 trillion? What is it right now? 20 trillion? It's just make believe. It don't mean anything. I have an article somewhere buried in my files by the National Geographic in 1991. And they asked them how money was created, and they told them, well, how was it created? Well, the Treasury puts an order into us to print the currency. We print the currency. Each document costs 3.5 cents, meaning the 1, the 5, the 10, the 20, the 50, the 100. Each of those documents costs 3.5 cents to print. The Treasury pays our printing bill, and then they take this money and receive it from us, and they return it to us at face value. And then the question was asked, how do you pay for this? And they said, we write a check. What covers the check? And they said, we just make it up. And that's, they don't hide it. It's right there in front of us. How would you like to have a job like that? Just make it up. Monopoly money. My sister and I, we played Monopoly like crazy growing up. But yet we kind of had a deal between ourselves that she only buys certain properties and I only get certain properties. And I always got Boardwalk and Park Place. And so we're playing the game, and we'd go a day, and then the next day, and the next day, and next day. And I don't know if my sister was building my ego or not, because I won every time. She'd land on Boardwalk, and it got to the point where I always had more money than the bank. And actually, I owned the bank, and she would have an IOU. And when it got into the millions, she finally would give up and say, let's quit. I don't know how many times we did that. Okay, but the same is happening in our country. The same is happening throughout the world. You have the super elite who is keeping everybody else enslaved. And the Lord is allowing this to take place. And so we just try to work with the situation. And the Lord still rewards hard work and to be frugal. Okay? And so in verse 12, then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. And I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out, emptied. And the congregation said, amen, and praised the Lord. And the people did according to their promise. Okay, now when this started in America was in 1913, on December 22nd. There were the power-hungry elite met at a place called Jekyll Island. It's off the coast of the eastern coast. And all these world elites met, or many of the world elites met there, and they connived this plan called the Federal Reserve System. There were three men that opposed it, three very wealthy men opposed it. Those three men happened to be on the Titanic and died in the Titanic. How convenient was that? Okay, and in this Jekyll Island, they had like a human sacrifice down there, but this is how this was birthed as far as our country. There's a man named Charles Lindbergh. Do you remember that name in history? Charles Lindbergh Sr. was a congressman, and he warned against this. He warned against it and said it's going to be a monopoly, it's going to be a silent government, and he warned against it. And then his son became the great pilot. And as you know, about 20 years later, his son was the great pilot, and then somebody kidnapped his son, and they found the baby dead about 2 months later. So that's what happens when you when somebody in position of power exposes the conspiracy of the banking industry. President Ronald, the last president that challenged the Fed was JFK. He challenged the Fed in 1963. You could have three $5 bills. You can go to a grocery store with three different types of $5 bills. I have all three. One is a silver certificate, one is a United States note, and one's a Federal Reserve note. So you had a, you didn't have a monopoly. You had a different ways of exchanging. And when JFK was shot, the first thing LBJ did is he took all United States notes out. Okay, and then many years go by, and JFK Jr. started a magazine. Does anybody remember the magazine JFK Jr. started? Titled George. And he was telling the world who murdered his dad, George Bush. And then JFK dies in a plane crash. I don't know if he did or didn't. Okay, but, and then President Ronald Reagan was the last president, besides Trump, but Reagan was the last president that said something negative about the Fed. And 1 week later is when Hinckley shot him, assassinated attempt. And a week before, Hinckley had a private meeting with George Bush Sr. And so this is why the Bible says, and the only Bible in English is the King James Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. Jesus said money is a servant. So if the Lord allows you to work hard and be frugal and you can save your money, okay, and try to do the best you can to please the Lord, don't wait for the lottery. Don't wait to be a big millionaire to give out, you know, for the Lord. The Lord always deals with the percentages. He looks at the widow's mite more than he looks at the rich people's wealth. And so we're just giving account of our finances, trying to please the Lord. That's all we want to do. Nehemiah 5. Let's see. Let's just kind of finish out reading out the chapter. The congregation said amen in verse 13. So people are happy about this. It's going to be a renewed financial prosperity. Okay, but yet when they get a prosperity, remember the Lord said, don't forget me, don't forget me. Don't forget me. So verse 14, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even unto the 2nd and 30th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. Wow, what kind of a politician's that? That's like George Washington serving as a commander where he didn't want remuneration for that. You don't see politicians doing that. You know, a congressman, when they get in office, they have one term in office, their retirement is the exact price they had in office until the day they die. What a deal, huh? 160-some thousand annual payment. And once you get in office as a congressman, you serve for 2 years, and then you got to get reelected 2 years. You serve one term for life. You get that retirement program. And that's what's happening in our country. That's why that's all part of that debt. Verse 15, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I because of the fear of the Lord. It's funny thing, the media, did the media ever tell the America that Trump never took a salary? He wasn't going to take a salary, but that said, you got to take something. They said, okay, $1. Obama got his. Biden's getting his. But that's something. Verse 16, yea, also I continued in a work of this wall. So keep building, because in chapter 6 is when they get done. Neither bought we any land, and all that my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that were about us. So he had some that joined the band. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor. Paid his own way, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Trying to help him out. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. So the old saying is, what goes around comes around. So if you sow seeds of goodness, then that comes around. Okay, seeds of evil, that comes around. But there's an exception to that, and that exception is whatever the Lord's will is. Okay, we'll stop there. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. Thank you for folks here tonight. And I pray that it was an encouragement. And I thank you for young folks that are interested in the word. I pray that you just bless our time. Bless the folks. Lord, it's good to see you, Brother Paul. But boy, he's weak. Lord, I just pray you to give strength to he and Debbie and everybody else. And Brother Byron coming home hopefully tonight. And maybe he is home. And Lord, I just pray you'd help Katie. And I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.